Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Femi Okay, in for John and Celeste this morning. We'll have more on the massive snowstorm slamming into the northeast today, but first, as 2010 winds down, we want to get a few predictions for what the world will look like in 2011. All week long, we'll talk with different guests about the changes they foresee in the year ahead. And last week, John spoke with Daniel Franklin. He's the executive editor of The Economist and editor of the magazine's feature, The World in 2011. And Joanne Lippman, founding editor-in-chief of Portfolio Magazine.
So looking ahead a year, the world in 2011 is what The Economist does every year. It's considerably more interesting than the person of the year, I have to say, Daniel.
Well, I hope so, although the person of the year is always good fun. But we know the year is going to start with a very interesting event, which is the referendum in Sudan on independence there. And I think people will be looking with great interest to see if the country does split in two, can it happen peacefully?
And the idea of rewriting or redrawing the map of Africa that hasn't really been done terribly much since colonial period, could have repercussions all over the world.
Yes, and I think there'll be other reasons to look to Africa in the year ahead as well. A lot of African countries are actually going to be experiencing very rapid growth rate. By our estimates, the second fastest growing economy in the world will actually be Ghana. And if you look at the top dozen or so countries that are going to be growing most rapidly, half of those are from Africa.
Talking about emerging markets there, Daniel Franklin, executive editor of The Economist. Joanne Lippman, there's going to be growth in this country for people, and they're going to notice it almost immediately.
Well, that's very true. You know, one of the issues that I think we're going to be facing in 2011 is healthcare costs, which we expect to explode. And the irony is the healthcare reform was, of course, supposed to bring down costs.
And so the dynamics here are if you diminish the size of the pool, that's going to force companies to raise prices. And there's also a kind of rush ahead of the various aspects of the bill to take effect to raise prices and to get ahead of the curve economically.
You're exactly right. And then beyond that, what you have is there's a great deal of uncertainty surrounding the bill. There is a great deal of concern about the costs of implementation. You add all that together, and what that means is all of those costs, plus the lobbying costs that are on all sides of this bill, all of these costs are going to end up trickling down to us, the consumer, and we'll end up paying more.
All right. Back to you, Daniel. What's on your list as well?
Well, certainly the economy, as you mentioned, and I think that there is a good chance that we'll see the hidden story of 2011 will actually be a much more positive one, the beginnings of quite vibrant recovery in certain places, but you might not notice it too much because it'll be masked by all sorts of worries about joblessness.
Do you think jobs are going to grow here, Joanne, in
the
U.S.?
I think we're going to have very little job growth in the U.S., if at all.
Really?
Absolutely. I think that when you look at housing, when you look at uncertainty in the corporate world, corporations have now, they're hoarding cash. They've got about $1.9 trillion in cash that they're hoarding, but they're not spending it on job creation. They're not spending it on investment. But I would say that a bright spot, the tech sector, and in particular, I think it's going to be a very, very, very big year for tablet computing. And you've got a whole bunch of new ones coming out in addition to the iPad.
Is that a driver for the media industry in general, do you think?
The media industry is pinning high, high hopes on the tablet. And I do think in the long term, yes. In the short term, not so much, because the media is still trying to figure out what is the business model where you can make money off of this thing.
You know, there's one of the mentions of what's going to happen in 2011 in The Economist that I think is quite daunting. It's not terribly much a surprise, but it's still a huge deal, a world of 7 billion people.
Yes, towards the end of the year, probably. No one goes around counting exactly how many people there are at any given time, but the best guess is toward the end of 2011, we'll reach that landmark of a 7 billion person world. And if you think that it took about 250,000 years for the world to put on its first billion people to reach a billion in about 1800, this latest additional billion from 6 billion to 7 billion will have taken just about a dozen years. So It's an astonishing rate at which the planet's population has been growing, and that is bound to be a cue for all sorts of reflection on how sustainable a planet is with that many people, how we'll feed ourselves, whether the resources are going to be adequately used to support that degree of population.
I mean, that's a terrific motivator for the following question, Joanne Lippman. What's that going to do to commodities, food, those sorts of things?
Food prices are already going up. You know, what's interesting is, with all of the concern about inflation, we've seen no sign of inflation except in, now we're starting to see this in agricultural commodities. We're seeing it in corn, wheat, soybeans, coffee, sugar. And it hasn't affected us yet at the supermarket, but in 2011, I think we're going to really start seeing it because some of these commodity prices are up by more than 50%. And this affects not just the commodities that we buy, but they filter into so many other products, and it'll bring up the entire cost of living.
And oil is pushing above 90, or there's an expectation actually it'll rise above 90 early in the year.
There's a lot of people who expect it to rise above 100. Now, oil counts for the vast, vast amount of consumption in terms of pricing. But these food prices actually are going up at a much, much faster clip.
You know, I heard economist Daniel Franklin talking about commodities as being a great inflation hedge right now. I wonder if that's an invitation for speculators to get into this, causing further spikes and maybe some wild cards in 2011 that not even the economists can predict.
Well, there'll always be wild cards. That's the most sure prediction, that there'll be things that you don't see coming. But, you know, while we've been worried in the rich world about deflation, and we haven't, as Joanne said, seen much sign of inflation yet in the emerging world, in the fast-growing economies, they're very worried about inflation. You see that China is having to, if anything, put the brakes on its economy because it's been going so fast. And that's where a lot of the pressure on prices is coming from, this increased hunger for energy and for consumption.
Final thought, Joanne?
You know, one issue we didn't touch on here in the United States is taxes. And I've got to believe that for all of the campaigning that the Republicans did and the Republican Congress saying we have to extend these tax cuts, we're going to have no choice. We're going to have to raise taxes. We're all going to see higher taxes.
And that will have an impact on the economy. Two silly questions for you, Daniel and Joanne.
Go for it.
All right, Daniel, to you, Lady Gaga will have a bigger or a lesser year in 2011?
I wonder whether she hasn't peaked.
Okay. Good point. Joanne Lippman, Conan O'Brien rules late night television in 2011, or he's like, you know, eh.
I hate to say it. I think the best publicity he ever got was for being fired, and I think that was his peak.
All right. So Gaga and Conan have peaked. There's your headline. There's your takeaway. Joanne Lippman, founding editor-in-chief of Portfolio Magazine, and Daniel Franklin, executive editor of The Economist and editor of the feature The World in 2011. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks a lot for having us.